This episode may contain strong language, nudity, and dated pop culture references. Parental discretion is advised.
From the audio arena in Meltdown Comics, it's Two Packs with me, Jeffrey Golden. Hello and welcome to Two Packs, the trading card comedy show. I open up packs of weird, retro, shagadelic baby trading cards with a funny friend, and this week, we're all about the pack attack. Two collectible card games enter, and no one survives. Playing with me is the Michael Jordan of made-up card games. He's on Something Awful, the Nerdist, and he's my best buddy, Asterios Coconuts.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Asterios.
It's good to be back in the pack attack.
In the pack attack. Pack Attack is a game that we made up and has swept the nation.
Absolutely.
At this point. We're both Time Magazine's Man of the Year, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
It is not bad.
At first I was like, you're going to share the cover with Asterios, and I was like, I'm okay with that. Then I got a little jealous. Then I started getting really jealous of it. Like, why do I have to share my Man of the Year status? But then I remembered, Pack Attack is nothing without the two of us.
That's exactly right.
That's the thing. It's the thing we built together.
We're stronger as a team than we are as individuals when it comes to Pack Attack, the game we made up. It's like Calvin Ball, but with collectible card games. It is so much fun. I love playing Pack Attack. What we do when we play Pack Attack is we take two different collectible card games, shuffle all the cards together, and then try to beat the deck.
Can you beat the deck?
Can you hit the deck, or will the deck hit you?
That's a good question.
And we're going to have to answer it in this week's Pack Attack.
Oh boy, are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. What do we have here?
Well, we have maybe two of the greatest spies in film and television history.
Okay.
It's a real espionage tale that we're going to be weaving here today.
Okay.
First, from Press Pass 24, first edition, Jack Bauer, the collectible card game from 2007. Remember when torturing everybody was a good idea?
The best idea.
It was the only idea in many circumstances. Well, we've got it. We've got the weird collectible card game that they made for 24. And then, speaking of great secret agents, from Decipher, Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, : the collectible card game from 1999. Oh, yeah, baby. No. Yeah, we got it. No. Oh, does this make you horny, baby?
A little. There's a picture of Felicity Shagwell on the cover.
There she is.
Felicity Shagwell.
She shags well.
Oh, if her last name is any indication.
I prefer Felicity Shaggood.
Well, you are. I mean, honestly, you've always been a bit of a grammar hound. But now here's what makes me sad about this. Decipher made this game.
You are a collectible card game expert, so you know. Who is Decipher? What games did they make?
Decipher made Star Wars, the collectible card game, and Star Trek, the collectible card game.
And those were two of your games.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I own so many cards. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. At one point, me and my little brothers opened up a pack of Star Trek, the collectible card game, and we found a card called Future Enterprise, great, which is the Enterprise D from the series finale, All Good Things, great, that has like a third warp nacelle attached to the body because Admiral Riker refused to let it fall out of service. It was the first ultra rare card that Decipher made, meaning the odds of finding it were like 1 in 85. And so I remember when we found it, I remember the three of us in the back of my mom's station wagon screaming our heads off. We were like, oh my God, oh,
and then
the Future Enterprise, oh.
And then I'm imagining your mom, hearing these sudden noise, swerves out of traffic, crashes into a tree. The car is destroyed.
That's why I'm a ghost.
And that's why,
I'm the first ghost median.
That's why I summoned you with this Ouija board.
Thanks for summoning me. I did miss you and the world of the living.
I knew that because when I asked, did you miss me, you spelled Y.
Uh-huh.
E.
Uh-huh.
A.
Oh.
H. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
I still do.
Yay.
So.
The question of this pack attack is, Jack Bauer and Austin Powers, can they get along?
I don't know. I don't know. What if Jack Bauer is back in the 60s?
Or is Austin Powers trying to keep up with this newfangled terrorist world that we live in?
Who's the fish out of water here?
I think we're going to find out.
I guess we're going to find out when we open these packs. All right, I'm going to open the 24 pack.
I'm going to open up Austin Powers.
Okay. Press Pass Games. What a terrible name for a gaming company. And hand me those cards if you don't mind. I'm going to shuffle them together.
Let's do it up.
All right.
I'll play some appropriate music.
Thank you.
Do-do-do-do-do. Austin Powers. Austin Powers.
We're drawing three card hands.
One thing I'm going to say right off the bat, just looking at these, I do like, you know, most collectible card games, the backs are always exactly the same.
Yeah.
I like that we get some variation in the Austin Powers backs because I'm seeing both Austin Powers and Dr. Evil
now,
on the back.
Here's what I'm guessing that means. I'm guessing that means that when you play the game, you have to choose a faction. For example, in Decipher's Star Wars, the customizable card game, you could either play as the Rebels or as the Empire. So I'm guessing that Decipher carried that mechanic into this, and you could either play for Dr. Evil or for Austin Powers. Do you remember the name of Austin Powers' spy group that he was a part of?
Let's say it was SHAG.
Sure. S.A.
Secret Headquarters and Government.
Yeah.
SHAG, baby.
That's why he kept saying SHAG.
Yeah, he was just trying to tell us about his secret headquarters.
Well, it's like when the G.I. Joes always say, yo, Joe.
Right. They're just talking about their battalion.
You know, the ability to just keep saying SHAG is a pretty good out. Because if you say to a girl, for example, let's say you say it to a lot of vagina.
Right.
And she doesn't want to shag, you can just be like, I was just talking about my government agency, baby. Now you're the one who's being sexist.
He would say that constantly. I read the script for the fourth movie, and it's called Austin Powers, the Spy Who Turned It Back Around on Women.
I'm so tired of all these social justice warriors, baby. Yeah. Gamergate forever, baby. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's see who our first opponent is. Our first opponent is Attorney General Kevin Graves.
Ooh. This is the 24 universe.
It's the 24 universe.
There's a lot of digital numbers on these cards, by the way.
Yeah, oh my God, you're right. He's got a politics of 3.
Okay.
And a health of 1.
Okay.
He also adds +2.
To something.
It doesn't say what.
All right, to something.
Okay. He's a statesman.
Okay.
He's affiliated with the Citadel.
Okay.
React 0. After Kevin Graves comes into play, set target conspirator. And his flavor text reads, tell the attorney general to proceed.
Ooh, okay. Shadowy figure in the back.
Yep.
Do you have anything to play against Mr. Graves here?
Oh, my God. I actually... No, it's too strong. Honestly, I have the best character in 24 in my hand. But instead, I'm going to throw Kevin Graves a freaking bone, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let me see. So it's a picture of Austin Powers making his tiger face.
By the way, the card is literally entitled Frickin' Bone.
Yeah, it is. And there's a picture of a bone there. That's where the flavor text goes. Put it in my bone, baby. I put the gurr in Swinger, baby. He puts the gurr in Swinger because he's like a tiger. He's
sure.
Listen.
Someone had to.
So apparently you need some vibes to play this game.
Is that the mana of this game? Vibes?
Well, it says Shag 1. Oh, he's Groovy 1. He is Shagadelic 2. And he's...
Oh, my God.
He's Creepy 1. Huh. He's got 10 mojo.
That's a lot of mojo, baby.
It does, but he needs four vibes
in order to play.
Right.
Well, in Austin Powers 2 or 3, doesn't someone drain his mojo?
Yes, that sounds like a thing that would happen to Austin Powers.
Okay.
So he needs mojo. He needs to be powered by something. But he's
By
vibes. But he is, I mean, that is Austin Powers.
Well, yeah.
He is the international man of
mystery.
Mystery, yeah, yeah, of shagging and such. So he would be a good candidate for Graves, but I feel like he's going to need something to boost his mojo.
Of course.
What is the deck for Graves?
Let's see. Right now, this is sort of no contest.
Right.
We're trying to seduce Kevin Graves.
Right.
I think we can handle this. For Christ's sakes, he's only got a politics of 3.
Right.
This card has an assassinate of 2. Did you see that?
It's very confusing.
Yes, so, it is.
So it says assassinate 2, but under 2, it says
shagadelic.
Shagadelic, right. So I don't know if he needs 2 shagadelic to assassinate.
Right.
It's, it raises more questions than it answers.
So we're certainly going to have to do something to power this freaking bone.
Right.
All right. So no matter, but let's see. Kevin Graves defends, oh no, with a disciplinary action.
What?
It's a picture of Frau Helga.
Right.
Something. The one who was like, send in the clones or whatever. It's her spraying Mini-Me with a water bottle. It says, make an evil pinky smirk. Last player to do the same cannot use their assassins during their next turn. All right. So, to be fair,
yes.
Let's say you represent Kevin Graves and I'll represent our team.
Okay.
And on 3, we're going to try to make a pinky smirk. And whoever does it the slowest loses.
Okay.
All right. And all our right. judge will be our fine producer. All right. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah, behave. Oh,
I won.
Mysterious wins. All right.
So that nullifies the disciplinary action, but we still need to somehow power the frickin' bone.
I know.
I've got nothing. I'll tell you that right now. I have nothing that could power the bone.
Like, I have someone who could work the bone.
Sure.
Like, I have somebody who's obviously, like, a skilled bone technician.
Of course.
But I don't know if he would be considered a power source in and of himself. I'll put him down.
Wait a minute, let's find out.
All right. So this is Johnson, the radar operator. He has a very large forehead. An absurdly large forehead.
That's Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's okay. So you're playing Clint Howard.
I'm playing Clint Howard, colon radar operator.
Excellent.
He's got a creepy mustache. He's got a big headset and he's wearing a lab coat. It says, I don't know, sir, but it looks like a giant. He's got 30 mojo and 1 creepy vibe. 1 vibe creepy. Now, my thinking was, Maybe he could operate the mojo. Maybe he could, I don't know.
Don't you know what he's reacting to?
What is he
don't
reacting to?
Don't you remember
to?
This scene?
No, what is that? What happens?
There's a scene in one of these stupid movies where like a giant penis is rocket ship. And so they keep cutting away before like somebody can say like dick or cock. So he's like, I don't know, sir. It looks like a giant. And then they do a smash cut to somebody saying, sausage, step by your sausage here. Oh, my God. Look at what's up there. It looks like a huge. And then you cut to someone going, hard.
Hot dogs. Oh, right.
Like, exactly. Right, yeah. They just keep cutting between various sausage vendors.
You got it.
Like, yeah. That's what wieners here. Oh, my God.
Meat tubes. Get your meat tubes at the ballpark. Classic ballpark meat tubes.
He's a radar technician. He actually works in Dr. Evil's lab.
Right. I don't know.
Well, what he's doing, don't forget, man. And look, you can see it in the lower right-hand corner.
Yes.
He's launching a giant dick satellite into space.
I know. He does have 30 mojo points.
Yeah, but that wouldn't get me going, baby.
No,
baby,
it doesn't get Austin Powers going. I think we lost
All
on
right,
this
I think
round.
We lost on this round. All right, Kevin Graves
God
has outwitted us.
It figures.
It does figure. You know, it still stings.
You know what? In the 24 universe, the bad guy always gets the upper hand first.
Right.
You know, like something blows up. Like, oh, Van Nuys blew up.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
In that one season premiere, like Van Nuys blew up.
Right.
It was pretty funny.
It was like, Yeah, it's Van Nuys. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. What'll happen in the pornographic community?
What are we trying to get to
here? 3 points.
We're trying to get to 3 points. So right now, we're at 0-1 to the deck here.
All right. I'm going to refresh our hands, and then I'm going to draw 4.
Oh, see, now I get the card that I desperately needed to up his mojo.
Isn't that always the way?
Fuck.
You didn't top deck it. All right. It looks like we're fighting Felicity's Corvette.
Felicity's Corvette.
That's
yeah.
Felicity Shagwell.
Felicity Shagwell has a flag Corvette. It's patterned after an American flag. The license plate says CIA-1. So not very covert. Yeah, no. And also, the car itself is very ostentatious. So.
Very. It would draw a lot more attention than a spy would want to.
Absolutely. It says play on table. Discard at any time to provide all the vibes required by any one card.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what we needed.
Or if you have these vibes, Shagadelic, Randy, or Creepy, take one Felicity and or Austin in your discard pile and play them on the table. I have a question for you, Asterios.
Sure.
Who was this game for?
I think it's for people who enjoyed very complex game mechanics, but also crude sexual situations and their humor.
I guess there's an overlap there, right?
You know what the overlap is? Me.
Yeah.
And I'm not even having that much fun.
Yeah.
Makes my head hurt.
I like the idea that the people at Decipher were like, we need a game for this man. And pulled down a poster of Stereo's Coke and those. He likes comedy films and he likes complex game mechanics. This is perfect.
He likes ironically explaining them 20 years later on the medium we're going to call podcasting.
That's brilliant.
Yay.
All right. Well, Felicity's got a Corvette.
So right now we're facing Felicity's Corvette. Let's say it's sentient.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the truck from Maximum Overdrive. You know, it's an evil car. It's a sexy, evil American car.
I am very confident with my next move here.
Okay.
Because I know how to dispose of this car.
Sure.
This car has to get in his belly.
Oh, my God!
Fat bastard. It's a freaking bone card. It says, get in my belly, and it's fat bastard pointing to his belly.
He is.
He's got $10 billion, apparently.
Oh, my God.
That car is definitely
I'm so sorry, Jeffrey.
What?
How much money does he have?
It says in the bottom left corner, $10 billion.
I believe it's, and I'm sorry to say this, but I believe it's actually pronounced $10 billion.
I've never heard it pronounced that way before.
That's how, don't you remember? All right, let's move on.
Yaka daka dika. I really remembered, but I'm just kidding. So what I'm saying is that Fat Bastard is going to eat this car.
That's
piece by piece.
Completely. That's maybe the most plausible move we've ever made in Pack Attack.
Yep, I agree.
He's going to ask the car if it wants to smoke in a pancake.
Great.
And then he's going to eat the car. And shit out $10 billion worth of gold. All right, but let's see if the car can defend itself. These spy cars often have gadgets, and you never know.
It's true.
It looks like this car is gonna spit out. It looks like in the trunk was hiding Ahmed Amar.
Oh, no.
Quote, he's unpredictable. That's his character class. He's unpredictable.
Sure.
He's got a character rating of 2. Combat rating of 2 and a health of 1. His subclass is just terrorist. He's just terrorist. And by the way,
not a specific type of terrorist.
No.
No, just terrorist.
Not kidding. This is Cal Penn.
Oh, fuck. That's right. Cal Penn was on the show.
Yeah, Cal Penn.
By the way, what was Cal Penn thinking being on 24?
I think they probably told... Look, I'm sure his character is more complex than his card is. I mean, because Cal Penn's not going to play an evil Muslim terrorist. He had already been in Harold and Kumar at this point.
I know. His flavor text says, I can't go to the hospital.
So he's been shot in the belly.
He's been shot in the belly. Shot in his belly.
All right, so this character's already wounded.
That's true. However, he is unpredictable. So now the sentient car has a driver, and the driver is a terrorist. A wounded terrorist, but an unpredictable terrorist.
Well, you know, there's no terrorist more dangerous than a wounded terrorist. So you back a wounded terrorist into the corner, and it's going to do something unpredictable.
This is very true.
So, but he can't go to the hospital.
Right. He can't go to the hospital.
Do I have a hospital car?
Here's the other thing, too, is that he dies, but the car still lives.
Right.
We've determined that the car is sentient. So right now it's more of a Roger Rabbit, Benny the Cab situation. So they're more of a team up, right, as I see it.
No, right. They amplify each other's strengths, nullify each other's weaknesses.
Does Fat Bastard ever eat a human in these movies?
Well, Jeffrey, A, thank you for setting me up.
You're welcome.
And B, at one point he did eat a baby. Eat a baby. Oh, my God. Why aren't more things Austin Powers?
I agree.
This is so much more fun to talk about than 24. All right. Well, okay. I think what we've got to do is, look, I'm going to tell you, this would be pretty funny.
Okay.
What if Fat Bastard got into a particular kind of contest with Ahmed Ammar, and that contest I'm talking about is a dance contest? I'm throwing Fat Bastard a frickin' bone.
Great.
Called I'm Even Better Off My Feet. And it's Felicity Shagwell and Austin Powers dancing. Here are the vibes that are required. Too groovy. One creepy, two shagadelic, one Randy.
I needed a Randy vibe, and I couldn't get it. That's the regret of the tournament-level Austin Powers player drinking himself in a bar.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I needed one more shagadelic, one more Randy vibe. I couldn't get it.
I should have sideboarded against Groovy, but I just didn't.
Why won't anyone in life throw me a frickin' bone?
Sir, you've had enough.
Sir. Put another one in my belly.
Oh, my God. Sir, I'm sorry, but your bar tab is $1 million. I miss Austin Powers.
I know. I missed when he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the height of power. Now we're putting Ahmed and a car against Fat Bastard in a dance contest.
That's right.
Who does win that? I mean, I feel like the most mobile of the characters is the car.
Yeah, but have you ever seen a fat guy dance? It's like Ralph Cramden.
Yeah.
You know, fat guys are always very dainty and agile.
This is very true. And I believe also he's got that baby back, baby back, baby back rhythm to dance to. Remember, he wants his baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
I didn't remember that, but now I'll never forget it.
Right. But, like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Even if Fat Bastard loses the dance contest, he could still eat his opponents.
Definitely.
So, I don't know. What are we thinking here?
Honestly, I'm going to say this. In the Austin Powers universe, what's funniest wins.
Yeah.
A lot of things are illogical in Austin Powers. They only exist because it's funny. For example, the person who tried to run over Michael McDonald with a, and by Michael McDonald, I don't mean the singing star, I mean the Mad TV star,
right,
with a steamroller. Yeah. Michael McDonald just kept screaming like, stop, and no. And it's like, he would have got, logically, he'll get out of the way, but staying in the way is funnier.
I agree.
If Fat Bastard wins the dance contest, that's hilarious. If Fat Bastard loses the dance contest, that's hilarious.
Right.
Either way, I think Fat Bastard wins.
Also, I think Fat Bastard is probably the most powerful card in the Austin Powers.
I mean, honestly, I definitely think his stomach is like a black hole.
Yeah, he wins.
All right. So now it's a tie-breaking round. This next one is going to decide the game.
Well, listen. Yes.
Either way, it's been an honor serving with you.
We've got more shagadelic action coming up in a bit, but first we'll take a quick break. We're back, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, we did not behave in the break.
No.
Even though you told us to.
You said behave.
You said, oh, behave.
I was saying.
And we said, No.
We said, no, we refuse.
No, we refuse to behave. For once in Pack Attack, I've got like such powerful cards in my hand.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got 1 point. The deck has 1 point.
Yep.
We're playing a three.
Yep.
Now, our next opponent is Teddy Hanlon. I'm going to hand this over to Jeffrey.
What's his name?
Teddy Hanlon.
Teddy
God,
Hanlon.
What? All these character names are so stupid. I love Teddy them all.
Teddy Hanlon. He's a disgruntled sniper.
Uh-oh.
Now, sometimes with trading cards or collectible card games, I get upset because the description doesn't match the illustration. But in this case, this guy looks exactly like what a disgruntled sniper should look like. He's a frowning guy. He's holding a sniper. Everything. And he looks like a Teddy Hanlon. He's an agent. The flavor copy is from Jack Bauer. Do not shoot. Teddy, stand down. He's lethal. After Teddy Hanlon kills a character, lose 1 point.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. And he is +1, combat 4, health 1. So this is a real deadly guy here.
Yeah. This might be the rare in the pack. All right, and let's see. You know what? I'm going to go soft on Teddy first because it seems like Teddy wants to play a violent game.
Yeah.
He's very disgruntled about sniping. Jack's telling him not to shoot. He's going to shoot. He doesn't care. He's super disgruntled.
Yeah.
But what if we attack him from a political angle? Plausible deniability.
Interesting.
I'm playing a card called Plausible Deniability. It's an event, an intrigue event. Mission 1, target defending conspirator, that's us,
yeah,
gains +2 politics.
How do these two cards relate, would you say?
I'm going to try to defeat his combat score with our overall politics score.
Hmm.
So right now, we're at a politics of 2.
Yeah.
Because he wants to play the violence game.
I
but what
that.
If we can discredit him on the national stage, make a fool of him, rob him of his power base?
Right.
Essentially turn him into the Anthony Weiner of the sniper community.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So we're threatening to out him. We're threatening to expose him to the world at large.
Discredit.
Through politics. Discredit him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what he draws in response to that.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. What do we got?
You know who's a really good political operator?
Oh, God. It's Basil Exposition, the elder British intelligence superior. He's a smiling British man with a flower on his lapel. And yeah, he's got 2 groovy vibes. I don't remember Basil being as groovy as a 2.
But
I mean, I'm seeing some Austin Power cards that only have 1 groovy.
That's true.
So this is implying that Basil is pretty groovy.
But we don't know how high the grooviness goes. What if we eventually draw Austin Powers and his grooviest 40?
Oh, yeah, that would be very funny. I like that Austin Powers is just an unstoppable amount of groovy. When played, you may return 1 discarded swinger to your hand.
Uh-oh. May I have the discard pile, please?
Yeah.
It sounds like Basil Exposition
could bring back.
I'm going to say Basil Exposition brings back Attorney General Kevin Graves.
Oh, no.
Oh!
Our greatest enemy.
No! Graves!
Graves!
Kevin Graves is so far the most adept and adroit political operator we've seen on the board.
I agree. Also, these are like the 3 whitest guys.
Yeah,
these are 3 super white dudes all working together. Oh, boy. All right. I like your strategy here. We could, in theory, expose all 3 of them as a mass conspiracy.
Yeah.
I want to play this one.
Okay.
It's a frickin' bone card.
Sure. So you're going to throw me a frickin' bone.
Oh, yes. I will. In fact, I will throw it to you right now.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, wow. This is great. Okay. This card is called How Does That Feel, Baby? And it's Austin giving like a very lascivious massage to Felicity Shagwell.
If they're all feeling kind of horny.
Baby.
Baby, thank you. Loosey-goosey, baby.
Yeah.
Shagadelic, baby.
Yeah.
Then maybe they won't be on their guard when we expose them as a conspiracy, when we discredit them as a conspiracy.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Look, not to be stereotypical here.
Yeah.
But Kevin Graves and Basil Exposition, they both do look like friends of Dorothy. Like Kevin Graves has immaculately coiffed gray hair.
Right.
He's wearing like a beautiful suit. Basil Exposition.
Same.
Same.
But British.
But British, which is even hotter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Teddy Hamlin is disgruntled.
Yeah.
What if we throw this frickin' bone to Kevin Graves and Basil Exposition, which gets them really horny, baby?
Good.
And then what if they start giving each other, like, couples massage?
Right.
And what if it leads to shagging?
Yeah. Let's all take a moment to imagine these two characters having sex.
Okay.
Great.
I think that was...
Yeah, I did it.
No, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I just wish Basil Exposition wouldn't have spent so much time explaining what was happening while he was doing it.
The two of us are getting very horny. I know. I know. I'm here.
Teddy Hamlin is disgruntled because he wasn't invited to the shag party.
To the shag party. He wasn't invited to the swinging shag party.
Right. A game mechanic inherent to the Austin Powers collectible card game is swingers.
Right.
All right. These two are swingers. Teddy's not invited. Teddy's disgruntled. Teddy's leaving.
Oh.
Taking our sniper off the board, removing the physical threat, and then I'm just going to throw both of them into Dr. Evil's secret volcano lair. I just played Dr. Evil's secret volcano lair. Take one agent from your score pile and play them on the table. Or if you have these vibes, one groovy and two randy, play on the table. Your Dr. Evils can be assassinated only by Austin and shagged only by Frau Farbissina. So what this is meant to do is protect my Dr. Evils from being assassinated by Felicity Shagwell.
Sure. Austin Powers.
No, Austin Powers is the only one that can assassinate Dr. Evil.
Right.
But Scott Evil couldn't turn against him. Mini-Me couldn't turn against him. And God forbid Foxy Cleopatra couldn't assassinate him.
Foxy Cleopatra, not from this movie, but a time traveler.
Exactly.
If I recall.
Yeah.
She could have time traveled into this deck.
Absolutely.
It's a possibility, is all I'm saying.
There's a lot of time travel in the Austin Powers movies.
That's true.
Just distracting him out. All right, I'm throwing them both into the volcano lair. And guess what the volcano lair has? Freaking sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads. These two guys are chum.
Yeah, they're not surviving this.
Okay.
I think we defeated them.
All right. Our final opponent is, oh my God.
Who's our final opponent?
It's a holofoil card.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
Great.
It's President Charles Logan. Do you remember this guy? I'm going to hand this card to you. Careful with it, though. It's holofoil. It's super rare.
Was he the president who was also a terrorist?
Yes.
Okay.
They, like, essentially, they were like, we're going to have, like, a Nixon-type villain.
Right.
So he's, like, the president that just, like, shoots people?
So it's a rainbow hologram, and the guy, he's, like, a Nixon-type. He's, like, an older white guy. They cut out his pupils, so the eyes are holofoil, so the effect is that he's, like, super creepy, and there's, like, a nuclear symbol on it. He's a character six. His slogan is making it happen. He's a conspirator with politics five and health two and a plus one. He gets to play an agenda. You think you know what's going on. I'm here to tell you, you don't. Baby, yeah. Fuck.
Let's see.
We're fucked.
Well, no, look.
He's the president of the United States, but he's also a terrorist.
With access to the nuclear codes.
Oh, God.
And holofoil laser eyes.
Oh, God.
Now,
oh, God.
I think what we have to do first is we need to see what his agenda is.
Right.
His agenda is, you're going to love this.
Okay.
The name of the card is Evil Rap.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm the president, but I'm also bad. Here in these rhymes are going to make you mad. Play on table. Your creepy vibes now also provide groovy vibes. So many vibes. Or if you have these vibes, one Shagadelic or two Randy, choose a player to discard one scored frickin' bone.
I'm going to say Charles Logan's best use of this card is to convert creepy vibes into groovy vibes.
Absolutely.
Look how creepy this guy is.
Oh, he's the creepiest. So he's converting his creepy vibes to groovy vibes. basically taking over the Grooveverse.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
what is Austin Powers without the grooves?
I know.
You know?
Oh, this is really difficult. And also, now I'm imagining evil President Charles Logan rapping, and it's pretty funny. That is pretty groovy. All right. Look, I've been saving this card forever. I'm going to play elite mercenary Nina Myers. Remember Nina Myers? She was the turncoat from the first season of 24, played by the same actress who played Ezri Dax on Deep Space Nine. Long story short, she totally murderifies Jack Bauer's wife.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
She is somebody to watch out for.
Yeah. Nina Myers is, I honestly want to say, probably the most dangerous assassin in the 24 canon. I'm not even kidding.
Great.
She's got a combat of 5 and a health of 2. She's a terrorist. Her keyword is lethal.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's a pretty good keyword. If you're going to have any keywords.
Whenever Nina Myers resets, discard one card. Don't know what that means. And she's holding a machine pistol. She's going to be able to make a pretty good run at Charles Logan, unless Charles Logan can use his groovy to seduce her.
Mm.
How can we amplify Nina Myers' powers?
In 24, you have to interrogate the terrorist.
Big time.
Use any means necessary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty irritating interrogation.
What?
Wouldn't you say? It's a picture of Felicity Shagwell holding a gun up to, I believe, Will Ferrell in a fez.
Mustafa,
thank you. It says, choose a player with at least 3 copies of the same card in their score pile. They must discard all of them. And then a thing about vibes. And there's also, I'm not going to read this thing about vibes. And then Austin Powers also holding a gun.
I'm going to say that Nina Myers is going to irritatingly interrogate Charles Logan.
Right. Can Nina Myers get anywhere near Charles Logan?
No, that's a really good question. Thank God I've got the answer. Because Charles Logan has been taken into custody.
Oh.
This is a card where Chloe, the picture is Chloe being taken into custody, but like,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Charles Logan. This is actually pretty interesting. It's a deadline card.
Okay.
So much like 24, where there was always counting down, it's got 2 tickers on it. One that says 0 minutes and one that says 1 minute.
Oh, God.
Destroy all equipment on target character. Flavor text reads, you're working against us, Chloe. And that's Sherry Rothenberg.
Well, someone's accusing Chloe of working against.
Well, you know what?
Chloe.
Here's what I'm guessing. A, she probably was.
Yeah.
She was probably secretly helping out Jack Bauer, who at that point was public enemy number 1 for the 8th time in this 24 series.
Yeah, it's a surprise that they didn't fire him after he disobeyed orders so many times.
But the thing is,
he always saves the day, though.
He's doing it for the greater good.
Right.
So we're taking Charles Logan and we're taking this dirtbag into custody.
Yeah, but you know what? You played an extra card. I think the deck gets to play an extra card, too.
Let's see if Charles Logan can contest this custody with, oh my God, this card's called Going Out with a Bang. The presidential limo has been set on fire.
Oh no.
Tactics. React 0. Sacrifice 2 terrorists after a mission attempt is declared. Cancel the mission attempt. The flavor text reads, hello, Jack. I knew you were better than Amador, but you're not better than me. And that's Stephen Saunders who says that.
That's Stephen Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim! Exactly! You're not better than me.
Well, it seems to me, and this is a most ungroovy ending, but it seems to me that what happened here is the evil terrorist president, whose agenda is an evil groove rap,
right,
was taken into custody forcibly by Nina,
right,
the expert terrorist, which is going to irritate him. So he's taken into custody, but then I think they were both blown up in that limo.
I think so, too.
I think it's a wash.
I think this is the first time pack attacks ever ended in a tie.
It's ended in a tie?
And that's like kissing your sister, something that Austin would not recommend.
I know. Whoa, it really makes me think about the moral implications of terror and forced interrogation tactics.
I know.
putting things in your belly that aren't supposed to be there?
They're not supposed to get in there, but he puts them there anyway.
Wow. Somber ending.
Wait, at this point, can you start fading up, "Hello, darkness, my old friend"?
Yeah, here, ready? "Hello, darkness, my old friend. Your busy day is at an end. The president's limo was blown up. And the last hope for humanity was blown up. With the limo that destroyed the president, also Austin Powers.
Fire showers.
Fire showers. The 60s are over."
"Well, I'm Dr. Evil and I'm here to say in a rapping way. My son's name's Scott, got a mini me. I'm the most evil you can surely see. I've got my frau and number two, but the number one bad guy here's not you, it's me.
Dr. E.
Yes,
yeah.
Dr. E.
Let's talk about Toys for Cheap.
I would love to.
You wrote a hilarious book called Toys for Cheap. It's a parody of toy catalogs from the 80s and 90s. There's a Billy Joel collectible card game.
Instead of the real Ghostbusters, we have a new series of toys called The Real Ghost Murderers. And it's toys that really just take way too much pleasure in punishing the dead for trespassing in the world of the living.
It's basically, what if Ghostbusters used the tactics of Jack Bauer?
That's exactly what it is. There's definitely a character named Sinston who waterboards a ghost in a toilet in this book.
There's Stretch the Truth Armstrong.
Stretch the Truth Armstrong.
The only toy that lies on its resume.
Indeed. This is the only catalog where you'll find Blade Man, Man of Blades, toy who's entirely made of knives.
And the illustrations are by Jimmy Hasse, senior graphic designer at The Onion, and he is amazing. And he is a wonderful illustrator, and he really captured, I think, the style of those old illustrated toy catalogs, like the old KB toy catalogs.
Yeah, I remember whenever the Sears catalog would come out for Christmas, the Wish Book, that was my entire December.
Yep.
Was like reading this toy catalog and like thinking, like, I want this, I want that. I would cut out the toys I wanted and like paste them to like a poster board. I was so obsessed with the Sears Wish Book, and so I wanted to kind of make like a parody of that. Where can they pick it up?
They can get it at bookstores across the country. They can get it on Amazon, and they can get it always at devastatorpress.com. That's I'm the proud editor and publisher of the book, and I think it came out great. And
So when you, I'm not kidding. So when you buy this book, you're not only helping out Guest Asteris Kokodos, you're helping out editor and publisher Jeffrey Golden. That's two for one.
It's a two for one deal. How can you go wrong? Just like the great deals you'll find at Toys for Cheap catalog.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much, Asterios, as always.
Always a pleasure.
This has been Jeffrey Golden. Pack Attack. Pack Attack.
Pack Attack.
Two Packs was produced and engineered by Mason Booker. Opening theme by Matt Myers. Break music by Lee Rosevere. Logo by Kenny Kyle. Like the show? Rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us find new listeners as cool as you. Follow us on Twitter at Two Packs Podcast. That's T-W-O. And me at Jeffrey Golden, that's Jeffrey with a G. Special thanks to Meltdown Comics. I left a bunch of these cards at the store for you to take. I'm your host, Jeffrey Golden. Hey, be good to each other.
Think about how many people Jack Bauer kills in one day. And how many days he's had to do. It's
and he never goes to the bathroom. But he doesn't, though.
No, he doesn't.
You never see him do that.
That's the first thing they teach you at CTU, right, the counterterrorism unit.
You got 24 hours to defeat every terrorist in the world. You don't have time to take shit. Every time you take a shit, another bomb goes off. Think about that. Make yourself constipated. Get back out there and torture another terrorist for information.
Chloe, I need the location of the nearest bathroom.
There's no time, Jack.
I can't give it to you, Jack.
It'd
be morally wrong for me to give you the location of the bathroom,
Damn
Jack.
Damn it, Chloe. Oh, no.
Don't hold it in. Hold it in.